You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
What's up and excuse me. What's up and welcome inside. Fantasy executive got
warm
a
up that voice.
Maria.
Yes.
This is the part of the show where the fantasy executive speaks. Then I introduce the crew. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes. Sorry.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyway, frogs out of my throat. Obviously, Maria Marino in studio with us again today. You know what I'm saying? Wrapping up a big weekend in sports right here. FST to OT. Obviously, got the all-in kid, Jake Sealy. He's back in the 757 Wall Street. Matt Medica after the big weekend at the NFBC. So a lot of stuff to unpack and break down today. Do a little NCAA March Madness, talk about some of the madness that took place over the weekend and some of the teams that are still left. Also want to talk about and probably get into a conversation with the all-in kid about one Mr. Roy Williams, head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. Also got to talk about big trade this weekend in the NFL, New York Jets moving up to get that third pick in the draft. But a little bit of breaking news to start the morning. Cleveland Cavaliers head coach Tyronn Lue is taking an indefinite leave of absence. He plans to return to the team sometime this year upon the liking of LeBron James. Health reasons is the reason. I'll start Maria on this one. Health is the reason for Lou's leave of absence. But the Cleveland Cavaliers currently third place in the Eastern Conference standing. If the playoffs start today, an entertaining first round matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, so this is a little bit surprising to me. I didn't realize how serious the health issues were for Tyronn Lue. I know he had missed some time, and LeBron James had said over the weekend that, you know, his health is definitely having an effect on the team. They're definitely worried about him. All respect to Ty Lue. I of course wish him the best, and I hope physically he feels better. We know LeBron James plays a big role in coaching this Cavs team in a way, and LeBron kind of is the pulse of the team. So I think without Ty Lue, LeBron is going to, you know, keep leading the team and will keep carrying this team. It's amazing how LeBron is playing, but I don't have too many details yet. Wish Ty Lue the best and hope he gets better soon.
All in kid, Jake Sealy, you look at the situation right here where obviously teams shouldn't skip a beat right now. Third in the East, Larry Drew will step over as the interim head coach until Tyronn Lue gets back to health. LeBron James in his 15th season, Jake has not missed one single game this year, and he continues to play at the MVP level.
Yeah, you're coming to the wrong person, though.
Yep.
I hope Tyronn Lue. Look, I hope Tyronn Lue is healthy. I hope the best for him. That's all I can contribute. You're coming. I know nothing about the NBA. Go back to Maria.
I'll say shout out to. Hopefully, Tyronn Lue's health is all good and recovers. But shout out to LeBron James. I believe in any sport, he's the first GM coach player ever.
Hell of a combination for one Mr. LeBron James. So we are off and rolling right here, FST OT on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We come back on the other side. Got a couple March Madness things we want to get into and break down. You know what I'm saying? FST OT. Got Maria Marino hanging out with us again. Her and Jake could get into an argument. So stay tuned for that. It's FST OT. Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day. Coming back at you. Yes. Fantasy Executive, FSTOT, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Exec, All In Kid, Wall Street, Matt Medica. We got to get a cool nickname for Maria Moreno if she's going to be hanging out in the daytime like
what
this.
What about my nickname from Lineup Lock Live?
First Team All Lit.
That was it.
I like that. I think First Team All Lit is
We have to credit Emery Hunt, the czar of the playbook, for dubbing me with that nickname.
Not giving Emery no credit. None whatsoever.
But the reason the nickname came about, and if I do keep making appearances on the show, people will see, I typically dance in and out of breaks because I like to jam to the tunes that are playing.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned that dancing.
I know what you're going
to bring up. It's much better than Scott dancing.
All right, so here we go. Let's get ready to break down and talk about the weekend in the NCAA tournament, right? So, you got the big upset, right? So now here's where the controversy starts right here, because we're not going to sit up here and break down the X's and O's of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, the powerhouse basketball team in the state of Maryland, and their big upset over the number one ranked Virginia Cavaliers. Obviously, the Virginia Cavaliers, when you can only score 42 points a game, things like this can happen.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Now, with that being said, All In Kid, Jake Seely, 16 knocks off the one, first time in NCAA tournament history. The biggest upset in the history of the NCAA of Lake of the biggest upset in the history of the NCAA tournament. True or false?
100% true. Not in question of my mind. It's never happened. There are 150, whatever it was, it's the 16 seed where you just move past it and go on, and everybody continues to talk about it. And yet people say, oh, this is year. It's going to happen at some point. And the fact is, 16 never beats the number one, let alone, there seems to be differing opinions out there. Nobody seems to really know whether they were their true number one or the actual number two, number one, whatever it might be. They were either number one or number two overall in the tournament, and they got knocked off. And the fact is, it wasn't even just an unfortunate situation. I mean, yes, the sixth man of the year was gone, but at the same time, you don't have that collection of talent. It's not like they lost their top two guys. It's not like somebody broke his ankle in the game. It's not like it was a half-court heave. They stomped them. And this game was a runaway, and it was double-digit win. The fact is, to have that come out, to have a 16-1 for the first time ever, and for it to be into that fashion, this is, in my opinion, 100% the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history.
All right, the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. Heard from the All-In Kid, Jake Seely, Wall Street, Matt Medica. The UMB Golden Retrievers taking down the Virginia Cavaliers. The biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. True or false?
Oh, that's false. Maybe one of the greatest nicknames, Golden Retrievers. I do like that. But I'm going to go back to, I saw it live, Villanova taking down the powerhouse that was Georgetown University at the time. That was for the national championship. Nobody thought Villanova had a shot. So for me, that will still be the greatest upset.
Raleigh Massimino and that great Villanova team, they going to run, if I'm not mistaken.
See, but that's why, right? You just said. That's why I we're going to disagree 100%, obviously, but that's why, because at least people knew that team. People knew players on that team. That team had some talent to it. That was a national championship game that they got to. This wasn't a 16 seed with dudes that came up to the waist on the other player's team.
But that Georgetown team was
rough.
Phenomenal. I mean, it was.
But that's the same thing. I mean,
it was like, you know, it was like USA Russia. You know, it was like the 80
Olympics.
It was
like Giants Patriots. I mean, like, there's undefeated. I mean, like, these kind of things happen, and it was a championship game where these things happen at any given time, where any given week. The fact is, we've never had this before.
First team all lit.
Yeah, I actually agree with aspects of both Jake and Matt. In Jake's
side, damn it.
Let me break it down first, and don't tell me what to do, Seely.
I love the Seely. I love the Seely Marino rivalry. I want this every day.
So, in Jake's favor is like what he said about the team being completely unknown. Like when they were playing on Thursday night, I look at Nando DeFino, our director of content
esteemed
of Fantasy Network, and I go, what does UMBC stand for? I didn't know.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were a complete unknown made it so shocking. And the fact that, like we said, in the men's tournament, 16 has never beaten a one. I think that the record now is 1-135 when 16 seeds play number one seeds. But in Matt's favor of the argument are what I call stakes. So the stakes being that it was the championship game that makes it that upset more palpable than a first round upset. But the dominant fashion, again, as Jake was talking about, the fact that this Virginia team came out so flat. And we actually talked about this on Thursday, or last time I was on the show, when we were sort of previewing Virginia. We talked about how they didn't have like that one superstar to like defer to. I thought maybe their team chemistry would help carry them through because they really were playing in sync, but they were never an offensive team. Defense was always their calling card. But when the other team, the opposition, starts shooting lights out, like legit cannot miss, and they probably played the game of their lives.
Yep.
The Virginia Cavaliers did not have the offensive firepower to come back and make a run. And I'll just say one more thing to UMBC's credit. Normally when a relatively unknown team like blasts somebody and it has a stunning upset, they come out in the next game and completely like or disappear, and
they came out and they fought again.
They fought against Kansas State and they had a chance to win. It would have been cool if they kept the run going. That didn't happen, but they had a valiant effort against Kansas State.
Shout out to the Golden Retrievers. They pulled it off. When you talk about great upsets in sports history, obviously, you talk about that Villanova. Obviously, this goes in that pantheon, 2-16, knocking down the one. You talk about the New York Giants, the miracle they had when they knocked off the great New England Patriots team that looked like the greatest team in NFL history. One of the great upsets that people tend to always forget, though, Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson was humongous. That was a humongous upset.
I remember that Saturday night well. That was that was pretty, you know, that definitely was insane. Here's my argument against Virginia. I thought like Arizona or Kentucky would have had a good shot to beat them, you know, two spots later. So, look, it is historical.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, good for them. Their fan base, you know, Maryland Terps fans can't be too happy. But, you know, we'll leave it at that.
Crazy.
All in, kid, what's up?
I'm waiting. You never picked a side, Maria.
I think stakes-wise, I got to go with Matt. Sorry.
You're both wrong.
The big-time Georgetown Hoyas, Patrick Ewing, John Thompson, just a monster college basketball team. They won one national championship, but they lost in the other two.
If Princess Bride has ever taught us anything, never go against Italian when death is on the line.
Corey? What did you just say? What was that?
I said, what you talk about?
That they won one and lost the other two?
Yeah.
Okay, so they lost another one. Exactly. Thank you. Boom. Done. Let's go.
Well, the other one they lost was to North Carolina,
look,
who was a powerhouse.
I lost. We're in the championship game. They won. You made it to the championship game.
You made me pick a side. If you want to know the truth, I think both of your sides have merit, and I don't feel extremely passionate one way or the other. So,
all right,
here you go.
Some of the top teams still in action. Listen, you got the upsets and the Loyolas and all of that and Nevada, and we all like to see these things happen. But don't forget, you still got the Kentucky Wildcats. I was saying earlier, I would send my child to go play for John Calipari. You may think he's a crook or whatever the case may be, but John Calipari will keep it 100 with you all the time. Okay. I have no problems with Coach Cal. You still got the Michigan Wolverines. You still got the Brotherhood of the Duke Blue Devils, Kansas and Purdue, also still in the tournament. Now, Jake, I throw this to you. We see Michigan State get knocked off this past weekend. Obviously a tough year for Michigan State in that program. After the game, Tom Izzo spoke defiantly about how he'll be back and how he's going to be one of the guys that's around to change and turn this Michigan State situation around. I tend to think Tom Izzo may not have a say in this matter right here, because that Michigan State thing, it's a lot of controversy going on.
Yeah, if you notice, all the schools with controversy are no longer in the tournament. All of them. Yeah. Every single one of them. They're all gone.
Like, coincidence?
Look, there was nothing that was going to stop Arizona from losing that game. That wasn't the NCAA setting them up for that one. I can tell you this much. They just bombed that. But the fact is I think it goes to the point of, you say coincidence, all kidding aside, and where I was just coming from Arizona, off the court distractions. I mean, you have distractions in the locker room. I mean, that's a tell for something. I mean, we talk about off the field distractions in all sports, from Odell Beckham recently to anything going down the line everywhere else. And the fact is, off field distractions do play a part in sports. If your head's in the game and it's not. So I think that this is going to be a long decision. In my opinion, I also wouldn't be surprised if they do it tomorrow, but I think this might be a decision for them. If they're going to be smart, let me put it that way, it's going to be a long decision, because Tom Izzo, when you talk about him from a pure basketball standpoint,
genius.
is undeniable in his ability and what he is for a coach. He is obviously the best thing for a program at that school. On the other side of it, is he the best thing for the school and not the program? And that's the decision they are going to have to make. So I agree with you. I don't think it's in his hands. He obviously wants to be back. He should be back. He is the face of Michigan State basketball, just like Krzyzewski is with Duke and so forth. But I don't know that it's going to be his decision whether or not he's back.
All right, now here we go. Matt, I'm going to bring you in on this. I'm going to get Maria in on this also. Obviously, troubling times this past year at Michigan State University with all the things and scandal going on. Very well could be a reason why. Hey, Izzo said it after the game. He's proud of these kids because of what they had to deal with. That could have also led to their downfall. Another team that goes down over the weekend, the mighty North Carolina Tar Heels, Roy Williams. I'm sorry, my man, but you on the clock right now. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Also, some reactions from the Tout Wars weekend is FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, here we go. Sounds like the highlight package is
this
playing.
This isn't the right type
and
of music.
Jeremy Hill takes the ball off the left side, and he's running towards the end zone.
It reminds me of the John Candy movie where he was like the detective, and he's going to solve a thing. I need a hero.
It's not first team all lit material.
Back at it. FSTOT right here on the world-famous Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Left off last segment talking about Tom Izzo and how he was saying how proud he was of these kids because of all they had to deal with this year with the scandals surrounding Michigan State University. Izzo, Matt, also defiant, saying I will return next season to right the ills and leave Michigan State University in a state of respect. But the chancellor, the president, may say, you know what, guess what, buddy, somebody else may have to do that.
Hey, look, Tom Izzo is, you know, Hall of Fame coach and
an Italian American.
Yes. And all that. But here's the thing with Michigan State. What I think they need to clear house with everybody. Just all the whole athletic, even, you know, chancellors and all that. For what went down in this women's Olympic scandal, the gymnastics.
Yeah.
This whole
this
thing.
Doctor, this doctor and all of that.
And, I mean, if you watched any of that court case or you know anything about it, it's horrific. And how, you know, nothing was ever done and this culture was able. And I'm not blaming certain individuals.
Izzo had nothing to do with it.
I'm just saying if I am part of the, if I'm the head guy at that university, I'm getting rid of everybody. I'm starting fresh. I think you need, this is something where you just need to move on, start a new day, a new culture, and all that.
All right, Maria Marino, what do you think? Ugly, ugly situations taking place with this scandal at Michigan State. Really no blowback on Izzo, but there's, you know, it's a little bit of chatters, you know what I'm saying?
This is a multi-layered situation, but what I'll say about Coach Tom Izzo, while I don't think he's necessarily to blame or culpable for what was a systemic failure across the board by Michigan State athletics in terms of sexual abuse and horrific, you know, things that occurred there. I think what I wanted to see from Coach Tom Izzo was better communication and addressing these issues. I felt like every time he went to the podium, it was defensive. It was dodging, like, be straight with us. And don't act like there's nothing wrong, okay? And with Tom Izzo, like, again, that's separate. The basketball program is obviously separate than everything with the gymnastics program. But you do wonder, Matt, as you brought up, when you know, various levels and various departments are involved in a scandal of this magnitude, you know, who knew what and so on and so forth. And I think the bottom line is we see incidents like this in programs across the country. It's not just Michigan State. We've seen all kinds of scandals across different programs, football programs, basketball programs, you name it. And so I'm not necessarily saying that Coach Tom Izzo is like should be blamed for this. I just would have liked to see him address the situation in a better manner, be more respectful to the press and the media when they were asking him about this and take it seriously and not just brush it off.
All right, here you go right here. You see, when situations like this take place, now this is the Big Ten. This is still a football program. But when it comes to Michigan State, you get a pass because that's basketball. That's the national championships. That's Magic Johnson. That's Draymond Green, Mateen Cleaves, all the greats that have come through there. And sitting at the top of that athletic heap at Michigan State University, it's Tom Izzo. Sometime when you're the big man on campus and you're getting the big bucks, when things like this happen, you have to take the big fall. It is not your call, Tom Izzo. Yeah. The chancellors and the president will look into this. An NCAA tournament early loss does not make it any better. Now,
next head coach of the Tar Heels.
Here we go. Great guy, great leader, great motivator. Horrible in-game coach who makes bad decisions time after time after time. And let me tell you something. When you are at the podium crying, see, one thing about at the podium crying, to me, that says you are spent. And I, Jake, think Roy Williams is spent. I know it could be blasphemy to say this, and I know nobody really has the courage to pull the trigger, but it is time for Roy Williams to vacate the head seat of the basketball program at University of North Carolina. Can't hit Jake.
I kind of like it that way.
Oh!
Just kidding!
Can we get Jake's audio? So Jake can tell me how wrong I am about
it was like music to my ears.
What do you think, Ollie?
We're good yet. Are we good?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Now you know how I feel. This is the way I see everybody around me. This is exactly how. Just tune them all out. No, what I was saying that you couldn't hear is might as well. This isn't even an argument I'm worth acknowledging. This is terrible. This is your worst take of your history of your career.
Whoa!
This is the worst of the hot takes. Jake, okay, I understand he's been in the past two national championship games. I get that. But the in-game coaching is not that good.
It's never been his strength. But he's got to be a perfect coach. Tell me what you want to do. Who's coming in? Who's going to do better?
I don't know who'd come in who would do better.
Exactly. Because there is nobody. What did you want him to do yesterday? That team had bigs and they had outside shooting. This team is incomplete. And it was always incomplete. There was a reason it was going to be the first ever potential number one seed with 10 losses. Let's be realistic here. This team had two pieces. They brought in a graduate from another school because he got hit with more people leaving than he expected to be. There's only so much you could do with recruiting and scholarships that you're going to give away. They lost. There was one they were rivaling with Duke that Duke went to because Duke has turned into a one and done. So one of the players that they were both going after, he lost out on, and you know that's just going to happen at times. So this was an undermanned team. He's still got a team coming back next year that is very likely going to be better than the squad that they had this season, and we'll be back in the conversation for the best 10-8 teams in the league. So he's like you just said it, back to back national title games. Arguably should have back-to-back national titles if not for that last-second shot for Villanova. So let's be realistic about what he's doing. What better could you want? Do you want five titles in a row for this guy?
Name me a Roy Williams coach player who is excelling in the NBA.
That's never – name UNC players who excelled in the NBA. There's not that
Michael
many.
Jordan?
You talk about and there's not that many. Michael Jordan is a generation talent. You can't just – Michael Jordan.
Vince Carter, Jerry Stackhouse. Yeah,
those four – and then that's it. Name others.
Now the rest have been trash.
Exactly. That's not who they are. They're not the one and done like Duke. They're not. That was just now the Duke. They're not the one and done like Kentucky. The UNC has never been that kind of team. You can go back to all the national championships that they had even before this and look at those two. I mean, look, what has Eric Montross ever turned into? What has Tyler Zeller ever turned into? I mean, look, the fact is, like, this has just never been a team that's produced NBA talent to that level. Those four were kind of the anomaly for what UNC has always been.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Raymond Felton, the fifth Beatle.
Shout out to Raymond Felton. All right, so here we go. You got any thoughts on the college basketball action from over the weekend? 844-843-6879. You got a hot take on Roy Williams and Tom Izzo? 844-843-6879.
Corey.
Yo.
Dennis said, I will end your career, Corey, with that take.
I mean, that's not nice.
Back to last week.
I don't think that take is so outrageous from you, Corey. Like, I just think realistically, like Jake said, like Roy Williams isn't going anywhere because you just can't argue like the back-to-back championship appearances and the national title last year. But I think he's always taken flack for the in-game coaching, and I think he's benefited a lot. Like, he's obviously great at recruiting, and then the whole like North Carolina the whole mystique of it, I think gets a lot of great players there, and you know, at the end of the day, it's the players that play the game. But I don't know. He's obviously not my favorite.
Yeah, but you got Carolina, Duke, Kentucky. Like, these schools are going to get great
just
players.
The name alone.
So, right.
But yeah. Here's, like, Corey, like I said, that's always been one of his weaknesses. But even I'm not faulting him for yesterday.
Yeah.
I will just say this. Even with that being a flaw of his, what could he have done yesterday? Like, what in-game adjustment could you have
done?
There was no in-game adjustment for that. They were destroying them in the paint. Every time North Carolina tried to do their fast transition basketball, half of the shots got blocked or contested. They had no answer for that. They had no answer for the outside shooting, and they started going. They were 2-for-21 at three and still shooting threes. Outside of benching everybody and saying, stop shooting the damn ball. I mean, honestly, I agree his weakness is in-game coaching, but I don't see anything he could have done yesterday to change the outcome.
All right, here we go right now. So, this weekend, big weekend in NYC, Tout Wars weekend. Shout out to all the touts that came in time. Good talent, good times, obviously. Shout out to the whole crew over at the NFBC, the National Fantasy Baseball Championship. Got a lot of things going on. I want to give a shout out to Andrea Lamont. Had a chance to sit down and chat with her over the weekend. Good times. Tip of the cap to Andrea Lamont. She's good people. You know what I'm saying? Also, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley and Howard Bender are now BFFs.
No. But just
no, we're not gonna take it that far. The hatchet is buried.
But I know the true highlight of Jake's weekend.
What's that?
Does anyone here follow Jake Seeley on Instagram?
No,
I've been coaching him up on the gram. I'm trying to get him, well versed on the Instagram. But
it's kind of like Corey and Jack in fantasy football.
Yeah, very.
He comes to the NYC area. He gets himself some bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel. He gets himself a monster pizza slice. I'd say it was a good weekend for the all in kid.
Oh, what else?
Food was definitely the highlight.
I don't know what else he did.
Oh, okay.
You
were talking like you knew he had a good weekend.
Because she was telling me how to include locations on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
I'm a total
and
noob.
Proper
I'm an
hashtagging.
Idiot.
All right, very good. What's up, Matt?
I just wanted Greg Sussman was not mentioned. He did hang out with Sussman.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Greg Sussman.
In fact, Jake left me and some of the rest of the crew to go hang
out with Greg Sussman.
Some of the rest of the crew. Like, it's insulting, like I just left you.
No, I just didn't want to name names, but it wasn't just me. It was a lot of us.
So, let me...
I don't blame you.
You had a homegirl with you, didn't you?
I did. My
What's up with her?
Girl, best friend in my whole
life. She was looking for trouble.
What? What was that, Jake?
Nothing. Nothing.
Were you saying she's cool?
Come on. No. I was saying you were trying to start trouble.
Come on. No, I don't do that.
All right, so here we go. The New York Jets have made a trade. They are moving into the top three. It looks like a franchise quarterback will make his way to New York City at the end of April when we have the NFL draft. We'll discuss and break that down right here on FSTOT.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Can I kick it? FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Got the full crew in here today. Maria Marino joins Wall Street and All In Kid. artist formerly known as the Fantasy Executive. Alright, so
are you gonna have a symbol or something?
Like I think that? I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna figure something out. I'm gonna get with my team. Mm-hmm. We'll figure
it's
out.
Just a poop emoji.
Thanks, witty.
Ruthless.
Our first team all lit. We got some more news on Ty Lue.
Yes. So unfortunate situation for Ty Lue. He's having some health issues, but he and GM Coby Altman of the Cleveland Cavaliers have released statements on what is going on. So I'll read some of Coach Ty Lue's statement. And basically, he says he's had chest pains and other troubling symptoms compounded by a loss of sleep throughout the year. Despite a battery of tests, there have been no conclusions as to what the exact issue is. He says, while I've tried to work through it, the last thing I want is it to affect the team. I'm going to use this time to focus on a prescribed routine and medication, which has previously been difficult to start in the midst of a season. Goal to come out of it stronger, healthier, so I can continue to lead this team to the championship we are all working towards. And Altman just sort of echoed that they support his decision.
All right, so shout out to Ty Lue. Hopefully he gets better. Obviously, in a very stressful situation, being the head coach of any professional franchise, it is also compounded when you're the Cleveland Cavaliers and you've had the best player on the face of the planet, where you have to win each and every year. Mm-hmm. That team brings in Isaiah Thomas, ruins that chemistry. They get off to that slow start. You got a big trade, so a lot of different things. Thanks, Matt Modica. I think stress, whatever the case is playing a role with Tyronn Lue's health.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. You never want to see anybody, especially when you have the best player in the world, and you always have that opportunity to win it all. So hopefully he can, you know, get things in order, get healthy, get back some point in the playoffs. And for Cleveland, I like the fact that they're not the clear-cut number one out of the East. You know, still with LeBron, I'll put my money on him, give or take, in the playoffs. But the fact that we the North and the Celtics, it should be fun.
Should be a fun Eastern Conference playoffs. And you see this stuff like this take place a lot of times. Obviously, last season we saw a situation with Steve Kerr. He goes out in the first round, after the first round of the playoffs, comes back for the finals. Steve Kerr obviously dealing from a lot of stuff from his playing days, headaches and stuff like that. Steve Kerr was very honest that he used marijuana to help him to help him to begin to feel better. So,
can I say something real quick
about marijuana?
I'm pro that, but as a casual NBA fan, I think the best thing that happened to the NBA was the ascension of the Houston Rockets and how good they've become. So now you know in the West, it's not just a foregone conclusion.
No, it's the Houston Rockets have a 3-game lead on the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson currently injured. It's going to be interesting.
Well, it's not a foregone conclusion for the first time in the past 4 seasons. So you had 3 seasons where you pretty much knew who was going to be in the finals, and this time, both in the West and the East, you have, you know, the predecessors that are being challenged. But I just wanted to emphasize about what LeBron James has been doing, Ty Lue's health aside. I mean, that's a challenge in itself. But LeBron James, like you mentioned before, Corey, hasn't missed a game this season. He's gotten flack in the past for resting, but he was able to rest because of the position that he put this team in. Now he's putting the team on his back. He's got 15 triple-doubles on this season. I mean, he is playing out of his mind, like maybe the best we've ever seen him play. And when you look at the players that are around him, he mentioned first time he's played in a long time without an all-star at his side since Kevin Love has been out. They're also dealing with their injuries, the whole shakeup of the roster. I mean, the what's going on with the Cavs and how he's playing and keeping this team alive is very impressive. And I'm not a LeBron gal, but I got to give credit where it's due.
All right, so there you go. Maria Marino gives credit. So you want to get in on that, 844-843-6879. Also, over the weekend, the New York Jets trade up to the 3rd pick. They get the 3rd pick from the Indianapolis Colts. They now hold the 3rd pick in the draft. All in kid, Jake Seeley. I think this is a bold, brazen, aggressive move by the Jets. They were not able to spend the money to go get Kirk Cousins, so they do the next best. Then they trade up to go snag their franchise quarterback. This is a team that truly does need a franchise quarterback. I think moving up to this spot was the right move for the Jets. Then they get one of those guys. Now, a team like the Giants, a team like the Browns, I don't see it, but I definitely do think a team like the New York Jets need to get a franchise quarterback in place, and I don't care at what price.
I do. And this is why the Jets will always be the Jets, because this is an idiotic move. This is the stupidest thing the Jets could do, because they're a rebuilding team and you just took everything that you have in draft capital to fix this team and have it in contention in a year or two and threw it out the window to hope that you're right about the quarterback that you're taking. At six, you probably get the third quarterback off the draft board, maybe fourth if the Bills trade up and force your hand. You're telling me two things. You're telling me, one, you know who the quarterback is that you think is better than everybody else, and two, that you're smarter than everybody else because you're going to hit. I gave you the numbers during FST. 30-35% hit rate for quarterbacks drafted in the first round. You're telling me you're smarter than everybody else and you're not going to be falling to that one-third success rate, that you know for a fact the quarterback you're taking is a franchise-changing quarterback. That's just, it's stupid in my opinion, because you had two second-rounders, a first at the sixth pick, you moved up three spots, and you gave up your second-rounder next year. You're a rebuilding organization. You are not a Kirk Cousins away from being in the playoffs. You're not Kirk Cousins away from probably even being a contender for the playoffs, because this team has so many problems. You were in a situation to fix this team for the future, and you just threw it out the window because you think you know more than everybody else does.
All right, Matt Medica, you are a Buffalo Bill fan. New York Jets, Buffalo Bills share the same division. You have a team in your division moving up in the draft to go get a franchise quarterback, something the Buffalo Bills truly need also.
I was pissed off Saturday morning when I saw this news come across. It was the right move for me, for the Jets to do it, for that reason of the franchise quarterback. I want, by any means necessary, a franchise quarterback in Buffalo. They're going to have $100 million, I believe, under the cap next year or something like that. I don't want to make the playoffs just for 1 year. Mm-hmm. I want to be a contender, a perennial playoff team, a decade long or so quarterback to, you know, run the franchise, and it all comes from there. I mean, I do understand Jake's point. It is a lot, but they made the move. I give the Jets credit. They were aggressive. They know Buffalo is making that move upward. They had the trade with the Bengals before. So if you want to get it, and what they did was they raised the price on the Bills to move up as well.
Now,
let me ask you something, Corey.
Go ahead.
If you said any quarterback in this draft class turned into Kirk Cousins, would you not call it a success?
Yes,
would. Would you not call that a franchise quarterback?
Yes, boy.
Okay. What have the Redskins done with a franchise quarterback?
Nothing. But you got to look at the point.
You need the pieces behind them. And we're all saying this, like, well, not what you guys are saying, is the fact that you couldn't find a franchise quarterback at six.
How about
again? It's a one-third hit rate.
How about this question? If, you know, you knew what Deshaun Watson was going to be, what would you have given up to get there?
No, I'm not going to answer that, because what I keep saying is nobody knows. I don't care what GM.
There is risk. I'm not disagreeing. There is risk, but, you know.
It's one third. They mapped it out yesterday.
Nobody knows. But if this is the position that you're going to risk on, then this is the position you're going to risk on, because it's the most important position of all of sports.
It's not the position. You guys are missing the point. They could have taken that position at six. They didn't need to spend what they spent.
I understand that, but they're looking to get a quarterback, specifically a quarterback.
They could have gotten a quarterback at six.
I agree.
It's more of a block of the Bills and the Broncos as well, because the Broncos are, what, five? The Bills seem like they definitely were making that move to come up there. So the Jets pretty much solidified. But I'm saying the Jets solidified getting, say, whoever they think, Darnold, Rosen, or Baker Mayfield.
I think this is interesting.
They have one of those three guys that they're definitely getting now.
They're getting the one that the Browns don't take. They could have gotten the third one that they don't take again.
But now, what if the Giants trade out, you know?
So then you get – it doesn't – the point being – then you make that move. Then you do it on draft day. You don't do it now. You don't spend what you did now. The fact is, they showed the graph too. Every single organization, all 32 teams were mapped out on this thing and showed the success rate of where they hit. No GM, no organization, Patriots included, hit or missed more than anybody else. They're all grouped right together because nobody knows, no matter how intelligent they are.
And Maria Marino will bring you in right here as a New York Giants fan sitting at the number two slot in the draft with all of these teams looking for quarterback. Now a franchise quarterback is the direction the Giants can go to, but maybe not right now. Yeah. The New York Giants now have the hammer.
Right. And I would just like to say, Jake makes a lot of really good points about the Jets, and it was a super risky move. They definitely increase the value of the Giants' position. And now being at two, the Giants kind of have a lot of power. And I think they have an advantage in that they can zero in on the guy that they want. theoretically the guy that they think is perhaps the future of the New York Giants. But if for some reason the Browns take the quarterback or the guy that the Giants want, they then have options where they could still take another quarterback, or they might decide we want to take the best player in the draft and Saquon Barkley, but they have an option. And I feel like their plan is probably a lot more in focus now after the events of this weekend.
Jake's been saying he wants to move out of that spot the whole time. And now,
do you, Jake?
The Giants are in such a wonderful position that I don't see how you don't.
It's so valuable now where they are.
All right, Jake.
Matt knows this. As soon as they hire Gettleman, I said my nightmare scenario is the fact they could trade out, but they stay at number two and take Quentin Nelson.
Where do you stand at right now on what the Giants should do with that second pick?
Number two picks don't come around very often.
Even more so now, trade down, because the hole just got bigger.
There you go, right
there. Jets set the market. I mean, the Jets
exactly
set the market. As Dennis Roy said on Twitter, it'd be amazing if they took like a guard or a
it's a good problem.
Somebody said they could get both the Bills' first rounders and a second rounder and potentially like a third next year for this pick.
Done.
Now, and I walk away.
Here we go. This is First team all lit.
Getting ready to show the shimmy us to break right here. FSTOT on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Final segment, FSTOT, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Getting ready to send you into the BFFs, the fantasy best friends they have forever, Sussman, Florio, and Stanford. A little bit later on in the day, you catch game time decisions with my man Gabe and Killer Cam Morris. Well, Gabe Morris and Killer Cam Stewart. We got that going down right here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Right quick, Jake, Tiger Woods comes in fifth at Bay Hill this week. He says he's feel like he's getting better. He's getting more into form. The 16th hole was tough for him. I know you probably didn't get a chance to see much of it, but what do you feel about Tiger as we are now 3 weeks away from Augusta National?
Well, for Tiger himself, I think he's going to continue to be overrated. And you know this, I don't think he should be the Masters favorite. I don't think anybody who can't pull out his driver to win a competition should be the favorite. And we've seen it so far. It's great to see him inside the top 10. He's going to be in contention. Hell, I'm not going to say he's not going to win a tournament for the rest of the year. He probably will. He'll probably win one, maybe even two. The fact is, when you talk about favorites, though, and being at the competition at the top with Dustin Johnson and McIlroy, and people don't even realize this is the first win for McIlroy since 2016.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the players that are at the top now, and you go down the list, Tiger Woods is in that second tier kind of players where it's like, you know what, you could probably get a win or two out of this year, but to say he's the favorite at any point, I just wouldn't go that far. But that all being said, it's great for golf because the ratings are back up because Tiger's in the conversation.
All right, so here you go. Now we got you covered on that front. Wall Street Matt Medica was a situation that went down over the weekend, and I wanted to tell you this with the Houston Rockets. I forgot who the somebody put something crazy on Twitter.
So situation, where should we find this?
Situation with the Houston Rockets, CP3 gets knocked over by Luol Deng. Now his teammate comes in and blasts the dude, Luol Deng, and he said, listen, he's going to get a fine, he's going to get suspension. CP3 says, listen, I'm going to pay the fine, I'm going to pay the suspension. The young man said, I can't think of his name right now, said, I'm sorry, I'm contrite, but I had to have my teammates back. Young boys in Kansas, you have to have your teammates back.
I'm 100% behind this. I mean, that's what you do. That's what a locker room is all about. It creates unity. It creates the team. I'm not saying go out there, be a thug, go start taking people out and doing cheap shots. But when somebody takes out one of your best players, one of your top guys, I mean, just a teammate in general, somebody did something that's, you know, not you know, in the sportsmanship rule book, however you want to put it, you have to step up and protect your team.
First team all it.
Yeah, I mean, agree. I think you got to have your teammates back. And CP3 obviously agrees too. The fact that he's offering to pay this fine, he gets it. He's a competitor. He understands what's at stake on any given night. And so.
Now, yeah, Jake, last week you said the boys in Kansas should have not gotten to a fight. Turn the other cheek, Sealy. Now, with that being said, this situation right here with Gerald Green, Chris Paul, and Luol Deng, how do you feel about this?
I don't know because I didn't see it, so I can't.
Darn it.
this is why you let me know before we do the show.
I wanted your natural reaction. You feel what I'm saying?
Too bad we were...
Sorry. Natural reaction if I haven't seen it.
You don't watch hoops, huh, Jake? No.
Well, he was watching March Madness.
NBA is a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, it's a bunch of what?
Say it again.
Bitches.
Bitches. Ooh, that's a bad word. You have to wash your mouth out with soap, Sealy.
No, it's not a sexist thing anymore.
I understand. At first I thought you said something else. I would have been very upset, but no, it's cool. We're good.
how upset would you have gotten?
Would you have walked out? No, I would have just given Jake a piece of my mind, which really isn't anything new.
You do give Jake a piece of your mind a lot.
I mean, I give everybody a piece of my mind. What am I saying? But no. You didn't say anything too bad. Your audio cut out for a second. We're all good.
All right, here we go. First team all
in. Are we going to dance the rest of our Monday?
Wall Street Matt Medica, the all-in kid, Jake Sealy. Thank you for rocking with us right here on FSTOT, right on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Monday is in the books. We out. The BFF's coming up next.